This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
So Money Episode 517, David Bach.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Karabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Welcome back to So Money, everyone. How are you doing? I'm your host, Farnoosh Karabi. Hope it's been a great start to 2017 so far. And today's guest, he's an old friend, and he is going to set us straight in the new year. David Bach is here. Yay! You know him well. David was featured during this podcast inaugural week back in January of 2015, along with, you know, just some random people like Tony Robbins and Robert Kiyosaki. Since then, David's been very busy traveling the country, meeting with his readers, his fans. And from that experience, he's released a revival of the book that really, I think, in many ways set off his fame and change the way that we think about becoming rich. You know this book. He debuted it on The Oprah Winfrey Show in 2004. And now The Automatic Millionaire has been expanded and updated to reflect, you know, this really fast-paced and in some ways very challenging financial world that we live in today. How have things changed exactly? We get into this in our conversation, as well as the evolution of technology and how it's impacting our wallets. How to manage our money during a Trump presidency, and the three words David says that will determine if you will be rich. This is a good episode. Here we go. Here's David Bach. David Bach, my friend, welcome back to So Money.
Farnoosh, it's so good to be back with you. Congratulations. I mean, I know you're over 500 podcast episodes. Like, you and I were together. I think I was one of your first podcasts.
You helped me launch this show. So you bring good luck to this show. And I'm really honored that you are coming back and with such great news, relaunching Automatic Millionaire. And before we get into that book and all that's new about it, how are you? We haven't caught up in those since pretty much 2015. You stopped by in January. So what's a personal development that you're really excited about?
God, you know, isn't it crazy that 2 years go by so fast? What's a personal development? You know, it's funny. Like today I sent my kids off to school. They've got what, you know, and I can't, you know, how it is when you're a dad. Like, I live to be a father. I mean, I've got this incredible six-year-old who's in first grade, and whose name is James, and Jack's in seventh grade. And so, like, just really being a dad and spending an amazing amount of time with my kids is like what I love to do.
Oh my gosh, Jack's in seventh grade.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, like, literally, I have to tell you, honestly, Farnoosh, like, I'm still giving this kid, like, lots of hugs and kisses, even though, like, he's starting to pull away from me because he's 13. And I came into the kitchen today and I gave him another kiss on his forehead. And I know he was having that 13-year-old moment where he's just like, oh, dad, come on, seriously, dude, like,
it's
don't give me
enough.
But, I just can't get over it. I just love being a dad. So that's probably like the biggest thing. And then, you know, work-wise, I mean, my gosh, since I've seen you, there's been so much. We went out, we relaunched Smart Women Finish Rich, our seminars, which have, you know, like 500,000 women have gone through those classes, and we took those back out on the road again. And then I relaunched Smart Couples Finish Rich. And I think we've had 250,000. This is over the lifetime of these seminars, go through that program. And that was remarkable. I actually went on the road and, you know, got to be personally on out there doing these seminars again and really getting to meet my readers and meet people taking these classes. And that was just like so incredible for me, because my books, now they've been out for so long, a lot of people come and see these speeches and see me, and they're telling me success stories that have been built up over a decade or even 13, 14, 15 years. And they're so incredible, some of these stories. And truthfully, what happened to me on that last tour for Smart Couples Finish Rich is that I felt like more people were actually talking to me about the Automatic Millionaire book. And even though they were coming to a Smart Couples seminar, a lot of them were holding the Automatic Millionaire book, and they were holding a book in many cases that was 10 years old, right? Because Automatic Millionaire came out in, I wrote it in 2003. I launched it on Oprah in 2004. So they're, you know, they had their like 10-year-old book completely like, you know, tattered up and highlighted, and they would tell me their stories. And then they'd go like, well, when are you updating these books? Cause you haven't done an update in a decade. And I'm like, oh, I know, I need to do an update. And so I made that a goal for, last, you know, really, I guess 2016, to update the book and put it back out into the world, because I really want to reach the next generation. I mean, all of a sudden I've turned 50. I don't know how that happened. And, I was started this whole career in my 20s, and I'm like, you know, now I want to reach the next generation. I want to reach 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, and I want to get the millennials on this Automatic Millionaire program, because I know it can change their life forever. So that was a long
answer. 50's the new 30. 50's the new 30. So whatever, 50.
Exactly. Well, 50. I'm like, you know, 50 and free, baby. Like, this is my year. I'm so jazzed on this year. I'm like, this is the year I'm like going to crush it like a teenager. And I can't wait for all the new things we're doing this year. So launching it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The millennials are easy now to they're going to believe this. I mean, they were already automating everything. And in some ways, your book, The Automatic Millionaire, was ahead of its time. I think I heard you say something in a previous interview that while 10 years ago, it may have taken us an hour to automate our finances, now it just takes minutes. And now we're not automating just our finances, but so much of our lives. So in some ways, this is an easy audience for you.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, that's part of the reason why I updated the book, is because technology has changed everything. Like, you know, if you go back to the Automatic Millionaire, how it was created, you know, I learned being a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley that my clients my ordinary clients who had become what I would call extraordinarily rich, they had built a net worth of over $1 million, not including their home. The clients that I had that had done that, they had done it through saving money automatically. And that used to be called a systematic investment plan. That's still what people sometimes call it. But you know, you had to fill out paperwork. It was like this big process. You had to sign all these documents, and then money would be pulled from your account and moved like by a transfer to another account. And it seemed very overwhelming, you know, 20 years ago to do that. That's why not everybody did it. Today, you can get on your little iPhone and you can go click, click, click. And literally in like less than 10 minutes today, most people can open an account and start paying themselves first automatically. And in some cases, doing it for like little to no cost. Like the cost to get a lot of these accounts started for people, you know, with as little as a dollar, by the way, because now you can start investing with a lot of these companies with as little as a dollar, has just become completely frictionless. And that's the exciting thing about technology. Like there's a company in this book that I featured that I kind of like got a crush on called Acorns.
Love Acorns.
You know, Acorns, when I saw Acorns was this, in this example, like updating the book, Acorns basically took my concept of the latte factor, which is let's take your change, let's take the money that you don't spend on small things, let's round it up for you automatically, let's help you invest it automatically in a portfolio, and you'll see that saving small amounts of money automatically can change your whole life. And it was very similar to the Keep the Change card that Bank of America did, which I was involved in launching years ago. But that money moved into a savings account. So you go back to Acorns. I'm like, does this really work? Right. So I immediately went on the phone. I went through the click, click, click process to see how long it would take me to open up an account. I think it took me literally like, I want to say 8 minutes. I couldn't believe it. It was sort of like, wow. And then I called the company, called the founder, said, I have to come meet with you guys. Flew out to Irvine, got the download on what they were doing. Ultimately, I invested in the company as a personal investor. But that's just example of one company. Like Acorns is not the only one doing this. So in the automatic millionaire, I've got lots of these companies, Betterment, Wealthfront, Stash. There's so many great new fintech companies that are making the process of making your financial life automatic that it's going to change, I think, for especially millennials, the way we all save, invest, and track where our money goes.
Yeah, there was actually an article in the New York Times this week about it, mentioning some of the companies that you've talked about, and also Mint in some ways. And you know, Mint was kind of like the first of its kind, but now you're right, Acorns. I love Digit too. Digit lets you save automatically on the go, rounding up. I guess it sort of looks at your income and your expenses and figures out a nominal amount to save for you every week. But that's the thing, you know, left to our own volition, we would not be saving a dime. And so thanks to fintech for changing that. And of course, your book, there are more millionaires now, David, than ever before. Do you think that you had something to do with that?
I would love to think that I've, you know, just the Automatic Millionaire book alone is 1.5 million copies out. And the whole Finish Rich series, you know, Smart Women Finish Rich, Smart Couples Finish Rich, Start Late Finish Rich, has over 7 million books out. So at this point, between those 7 million books and the 1 million people who have come through my seminars, honestly, Varnish, I do feel like I've made a small little dent in the world in terms of financial education. But there's so much more work to be done. I mean, my biggest single complaint is that we don't have financial education in school systems. And, you know, I hope with Trump, I keep talking about this on interviews. I actually hope with Trump as our president that he will push to get financial education in the school systems. Because if we start teaching, if everybody was taught what's in the Automatic Millionaire book before they got out of high school, we could change the face of this country financially. You know, the recent numbers, you probably saw this. The Federal Reserve came out with these numbers and everybody talked about it, how 47% of Americans can't get their hands on $400 in case of emergency purposes. Like, that's terrifying. That means like basically 1 in 2 Americans have less than 6 days of savings. So half of America is like really struggling. And then we have 10 million people who are now millionaires, and we actually have more wealth in our country than we've ever had. The number just went over $90 trillion in total net worth. So, you know, if you're investing, if you're an owner, if you're practicing the things I teach in the Automatic Millionaire book, you should be wealthier today than you've ever been, because the stock market's at an all-time high and the real estate market's at an all-time high. And those two single things basically determine the net worth of most people in America. You know, so that's a big part of, you know, we've had a remarkable 7.5 year run now.
So you touched on Trump, you touched on housing. I want to talk about both of those things, but just now you talked about how we've had this incredible run in the market, and that obviously is not going to last. So, and I think we're anticipating that to some extent, like there has to be a correction. There has to be some softening. What can we do to help ourselves in that predicament, given too that Trump, I mean, let's be honest, he's going to be helping the rich. So for the masses, how do we help ourselves, especially in those harder times that are not maybe, you know, down the road soon?
Okay. So here's, first of all, people, you should go over to my website, davidbach.com, and put your email into our list. And the reason I'm just saying that right now, or you can go visit me on Facebook, join our community. The reason I'm saying that is because I've just spent the last month creating a webinar that will get released when we have the next market correction. I created it for my financial service clients because I'm now the director of investor education for a new financial service firm that we launched about 6 months ago. And we're literally preparing all the financial education pieces for our clients to go over how to prepare for a correction. So here's some things I can tell you about preparing for a correction. first of all, markets go up and markets go down. Really important to know that. Like, you know, corrections, which are considered markets of over 20, a drop of over 15 to 20% roughly. Bear markets are 20% or more. Corrections are generally considered between 10 to 20%. They actually happen a lot. And a big thing to know is that, yes, markets go down and then they recover. So we've been on a roughly 7.5 straight year up run. We're up over, you know, the bottom was in February of 2009, I think, and we are up over 300 and some odd percent right now from that time, which is worth pointing out too, because when that correction happened, people didn't believe the markets were going to recover. You know, you and I talked, I was all over the media doing Start Over, Finish Rich, literally sitting on shows like Today Show saying, you know, recessions mint millionaires, corrections create massive opportunities. So it is important to know that if you are just getting started and we get a correction, that's great for you. That's called a market being put on sale. It's the same thing that happened with the real estate market. When the recession hit, homes got put on sale. You could go out and buy a home, in some cases below replacement cost, and people were like, oh, I'm never going to buy a home. I'm going to be a renter. Meanwhile, all those markets that got crushed, the average home price is up now over 57%. So, you know, the markets that nobody wanted to go to originally, the markets like Miami and Phoenix and Vegas and San Diego, all these markets that were these great markets that then got hit, smart investors rushed in and bought homes. So thing to know is this, you got to reprogram your brain. First of all, when the market's correct, seriously, don't panic. You need to breathe. Turn off the negative news. Don't spend a lot of time watching the financial news because it'll all be scary. They exacerbate it because the media makes it worse often than it is, and they try to come up with explanations. They get these negative talking heads on saying, you know, it's going to get worse. The market's going down 50%. There are all these pundits out there that are always negative. You got to stay away from that negative news because you got to know long term. In this country, the greatest country in the world, where we have the economic engine of the world, things always improve and get better. As I sit here today, Farnoosh, the dollar is at a 14-year high, our value of our dollar. You know, 8 years ago, when Obama was being elected, people are like, this is the end of the world. The American dollar is going to get you destroyed. We are just a laughingstock, blah, blah, blah. We have the strongest dollar that we've had in 14 years. We have the highest employment rate that we've had now in 8 years. We have the strongest stock market we've seen in 7.5 years, actually ever. We have the highest cash sitting on company balance sheets that we've ever had. There is so much good news, which, by the way, is why the Federal Reserve is about to raise interest rates. So one thing you have to start preparing for is the fact that the Fed will raise rates next year. That will start to impact a lot of people who are listening to this podcast right now. We should probably talk about that.
Well, yeah, I do want to talk about the impact on housing, also because you are still advocating for people to become homeowners as a way to secure wealth. Whereas, you know, over the years, many people have come out saying that's actually a terrible idea. You should rent because it creates more lifestyle flexibility, more cash liquidity. It's not for everybody. And then we obviously have recent history to, you know, scare us from doing that. But you just also debunked that for us on the show. but you know, it is true that we're going to see a cool down in housing, not that because interest rates directly impact mortgage rates, but we're already seeing mortgage rates go up. We're already seeing there a little bit of a slowdown in home sales. And I just think, again, we've had it so good the last 4 or 5 years that it's time. So in that new market that we're headed into, higher interest rates, maybe some lower prices on housing. For a seller, that's not so great. What do you do? Do you buy? Do you rent? Do you shore up your cash and then wait to pounce? How do you tackle this?
Okay, so now I'm going to be really careful how I answer this question because I don't want to freak people out or scare anyone. But you know, in 2010, really 2009, when things were all on sale, I was an absolute raving bull market, like, you got to take advantage of this guy. You know, like, I was out there beating the drum to buy a home and invest in the market because it was obvious. Everything was cheap. You had companies trading at 4, 5, 6 times multiples that traditionally trade at 12, 13, 14, 15 times revenue. Today, the stock market is trading at an average of 27 times. It's one of the highest multiples we've ever seen, you know, in the last 50 years. The market's fully priced right now, the stock market. We've had a movement since Trump got elected up nearly like, I don't even know what in front of me, like we're up like 2,000 points. People thought the market was going to drop after Trump was elected, with real estate prices at an all-time high. So I'm running around today doing what I've always told people, which is you got to be a long-term investor. I am not telling people that right now things are cheap, because I don't think things are cheap. It's hard to find anything that's cheap right now. So, you know, let's go back to the basics. Like, you shouldn't invest in the stock market unless you're investing for at least for a three-year time horizon, ideally 5 years or longer. So if you are, then you can ride out markets going up and markets going down. Most people who are listening to this who are investing like in a 401k plan, you know what? Just keep investing every 2 weeks. Leave it alone. Don't worry about it. If you're approaching retirement or you're retired, you need to then be thinking about this. You need to be sitting down with your financial advisor, truly digging into your overall risk tolerance and looking at your asset allocation. How much money do you have in stocks? How much money do you have in bonds? How much money is global? In terms of the bonds, are you short-term? Are you medium-term bonds or longer-term bonds? You really need to go into that, the micro part of that with an advisor and look through. Do like almost an X-ray vision of your portfolio. I think that's really important for those who are closer to retirement. You're listening to this, you're in your 20s and 30s, don't even worry about this. Just keep paying yourself first automatically. And the key rule, 1 hour a day of your income. That's the key formula. We should talk about that in a second. But let me just go to the housing for a moment. You shouldn't buy a home if you're going to move in a year or two. Like, that's just a given. But if you're going to live somewhere for 5 years or longer, then even though housing right now might be an all-time high in your market, you might still want to be looking at buying a home. If you've got enough of a down payment, 10 to 20%, you can still buy a home and get really, you know, even if rates go up, they're still going to be much cheaper than they were 10 years ago. Rates, if we get back up to 4, 4.5% on a 30-year mortgage, you know, when I first moved to New York, I went back and pulled my mortgage, 2002. The rate on my mortgage was 5.85%. That was 2002. So even if we get up to 4, 4.5%, still really cheap money. Long-term home investing works. It works because it forces people to save automatically. You're always paying your mortgage and you're paying down your debt if you do it correctly. And long-term, the value of homes go up. And what homes become for people is a forced piggy bank. You know, you turn around, if you pay that home off early, which is what I teach you how to do in the Automatic Millionaire, the biweekly mortgage formula to pay your mortgage half every 2 weeks. You pay your mortgage off sooner. And when you do that, you get to retire sooner. So if someone's listening and they're 30, and I get emails all the time, people in their 30s who 10 years later, they've followed my program and they've accelerated it, and they own their home free and clear at 40. You have a lot more options when you have no real overhead costs for where you live. Yes, you might have insurance and taxes, but that's way less than renting, and renting always goes up. The cost of rent, you and I live here in New York, cost of rent has gone up 50% since the recession. The value of a home has doubled in many areas here since the recession.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
Fashion.
I will say, though, if you're looking for a nice two-bedroom in Brooklyn right now, they have overbuilt on just my block alone. There's like three new condos. And so you can strike a little bit of a deal if you go in with if you go in now and maybe some cash to wave around. These landlords are I think they overestimated the demand. But I know. Yes, you're right. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. I am a homeowner. And in fact, my interest rate in 2004 when I first bought in New York was 6%. So you did even better than me. I have since sold that property, and for a little nice little stash. So and I held on to it for 10 years. That's why. So yes, you have to be a long term owner in order to really be able to reap the benefits of home ownership. And it's not for everybody. I mean, people come to me on the show. They've got debt, credit card debt, student loans, and they're just razor focused on becoming a homeowner. And I'm like, it's not on your to-do list right now. You know, that's a nice goal to have, but you have a lot more on your plate to deal with, unfortunately.
But I think it's important for people to have their big dream in front of them, you know, because it's true. It might not be on their, this is not your 12-month to-do list, but I'll tell you what, I'm a big believer in funding a dream account. And so if a person doesn't want to buy a home and I've got credit card debt, cool, no problem. If you got $200, we're going to take one third of that money. We're going to put it towards your pay yourself first account. We're going to take one third of your money. We're going to put it towards your pay your debt down account. We're going to take one third of your money. We're going to put it in your dream account, and your dream account is going to go to buy that home someday. That kind of automated system allows people to go for their dreams. And the only way you get to your dreams is you start working on it, because time goes by really fast. And I'll tell you what, even if it's 5 years from now, you're not working towards that dream of buying a home 5 years from now. You're going to turn around and be 5 years older. You'll still be renting. Your rent will be 50% more, and you will have no money in an account to go buy a house. And the markets will correct, and there will be times where you'll be able to get better deals. And you just brought up a great example. There are a lot of markets that have gotten overbuilt. Things will cool down again. Prices will come down. That's why everything is always cyclical. So if you're building up a dream account for that opportunity, you know, maybe it's 2-3 years from now where things start to go on sale. Maybe it's 12 months from now, but whenever it is, if you start to build that dream account up, then you'll have that money to go and do that. And you know, you and I are living examples of how lucky sometimes you can get. If you live in a great city like New York, And if you just bought a place in New York, you just bought a place in San Francisco, there's so many of these markets where if you just got into something, it could be a 500.
Could be a parking lot. Literally. Could be a parking space.
You know, if you just got into a 500 square foot studio, you got on the escalator to building wealth. I mean, I have friends today who live in multi-million dollar apartments in the city, but they started, one of my friends started in a $300,000, it's amazing how expensive that was, but a $300,000 studio. I have another friend started in a $150,000 studio. Now, in lots of parts of the country, that buys you like a house. So in some parts of the country, you can still buy homes for 50 grand. And, you know, in many markets today, it's actually cheaper to have a mortgage than it is to rent. So I don't know, I haven't lost my enthusiasm for home ownership. I think it's a fundamental part of the American dream. I realize it's not for everybody, and I realize a lot of people are still moving around quite a bit, especially millennials. But the challenge is if you're constantly moving around and you're not ever putting money into a savings account or an investment account or real estate, then you're going to be one of these 47% of Americans who basically have 1 week's expenses set aside.
Barely. Something you're not enthusiastic about, David, though, budgets. Tell us why.
Because they suck. Can we say that on a podcast?
Yes, of course. You can always say that on this podcast.
You know, budgets, first of all, people go, oh, you should have a budget. Like I don't know anybody. I mean, look, I know there are exceptions because whenever I say I don't know anybody, somebody wants to email me. My experience in the real world is that people try to create budgets. They go on them for a month or two, and then they go off of them. They give up. It gets worse. It's almost like going on a bad diet, right? And I find that for couples, budgets are really not effective because in most relationships, one person wants the budget and the other person doesn't. You know, I always say people are born one of two ways. You're either born to spend or you're born to save. And those people usually fall in love and get married. So, you know, what I've seen in the real world, and, you know, you go back to the Automatic Millionaire book, it was the most important lesson that the McIntyres taught me. We haven't even talked about the McIntyres. Jim and Sue McIntyre are the couple that basically taught me the system of how to become an automatic millionaire and how to change my life. And when they came in my office and they were 52 and able to retire and they had no debt and they were worth nearly $2 million, and I said to them, what did you do to be in this position? And they looked at me, Farnoosh, and they said, we just did everything that you taught in that four-week class. I'm like, really? That's it? You really did all that? They're like, all those things. We paid ourselves first automatically. We used our 401k plan. We bought a home and paid the debt down. We didn't sell that house. We bought a second home and we rented the first. What we didn't do is we didn't budget. Is that you spent like an hour on budgeting, and that class used to be 10 hours long. And they go, you know, it was interesting and you give off all those worksheets and it was, you know, it made a lot of sense, but it doesn't work. Like, we tried that. In fact, we almost got divorced our first year trying to have all that budgeting. We tried the envelope system and like it just didn't work. What worked for us was saving the money automatically. And once it was automated, then we couldn't fail. And that was like my biggest light bulb, Oprah aha moment, because I walked back into my office and I'm like, of course, look at all my clients who are rich. I mean, I had a huge book of business at Morgan Stanley. I had hundreds of clients who were self-made millionaires. I started asking them, did you budget to get here? None of them budgeted to get there. The secret thing they did, which is not a secret anymore, they paid themselves first automatically. And then I started teaching people, it's not just pay yourself first automatically, it's that you can automate everything. So like in the Automatic Millionaire book, there's what I call the Automatic Millionaire Blueprint. And there are 7 places that your money should go to automatically. It takes about less than an hour to hook that all up. And once it's done, you know, you can have 90, 95% of your financial life automated. And you can look at everything and monitor it in less than 10 minutes a month. And then go on to your life and not have to worry about the money part.
So automating was sort of a secret back when you brought it to the masses with the launch of the Automatic Millionaire. What do you think? I mean, just from your perspective, you've seen a lot, you've met with a lot of people, you're completely entrenched in this industry. What's a secret still that we don't know enough about as far as managing our money, achieving millionaire status, achieving wealth? Is there something that you just wish people would inherit and adopt as they have with automation? What's something that we still that we can do better with?
Okay, I'm going to give you two words. Write these two words down. I'm getting the chills as I'm about to share these two words. The words are benign neglect. Benign neglect. Now,
ignorance? Is that what the... one word for that?
No, it's not. Benign neglect means like, you know, you create something and you leave it alone. So the interesting thing is that I got that tip from a guy named Bob Gardner, who was the head of Dean Witter when I was a kid. I once heard, if you want to get a chance to spend time with somebody who's like a legend, who's like a CEO, after a keynote speech, ask them if you can take them to the airport, because nobody ever does that. So this guy's, you know, the head of our firm. I go running up to him. I'm like, do you have a ride to the airport? He's like, no. I'm like, can I give you a ride? He's like, well, I've got a car coming. I'm like, well, can I go with you? Can I go in the car with you? He's like, you know, like, sure, kid, come along. And I said, you know, you've had this entire career in this business. If you could give me one tip, what would it be? And he said, it's benign neglect. And I said, well, you know, what do you mean? He said, you know what? When you set something up right in the beginning, if you just leave it alone, it'll do fine usually. He's like, people look at their investments and they're constantly, it's like a, like, imagine if instead of pulling out the weeds, every time you put a seed in the ground and it started to grow just a little bit, you pulled it up to look at it. And he said, then it would be dead. And he's like, people do this with investing all the time. Now, I was young. I was in my 20s when he gave me that lesson. I don't even know that I really always followed it well enough. But now that I'm older, now at 50, that I look back, I'm like, every single thing practically that I've sold has gone up in value more than what I sold it for. In some cases, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 times more, even though I made money. If I had just left it alone, I'd have so much more money today than I even have now. What most investors do that screws everything up is they try and time the market. They're actually constantly fiddling with their investments. Even though everybody says they're going to be a long-term investor, even people who hire financial advisors and they say, well, we're going to be long-term with this. When the going gets tough, when the market's correct, people make changes. And I mean drastic changes. They try and time the market. They go to cash when the market corrects, hoping that they'll then get back in when everything calms down and they'll somehow catch the ride back up. The average investor, when you dig into the data on investing, it's quite depressing, actually, because the average investor, if you look at the markets and you go, you know, if you just bought an S&P 500 index fund and you left it alone, you've averaged over 11%. You know, it's just remarkable. Like, you've done great in an average index fund. You've just left it alone. But average investor hasn't left it alone. Their returns have been half of that at best. In some cases, when you go into like Dalbar's research, the average investor's returns have been like 3.5%, 4.5%.
And then after fees, forget it.
And taxes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why has the average investor done so poorly? It's because they're constantly fiddling with their investments. So the secret is you can't time the market. It's not going to work. You have to be right, not once, but twice. You're not going to figure out when to sell and when to buy. And this is important information because, like you just said, I don't know when, you know, this is going to air the first week of January. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll have anything happen before the day this airs or if something will happen right after the day this airs. But at some point, the market's going to correct. And look, we're up over 300%. If the market's dropped 50% from here, which would be a disaster, we would all hate to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen. It's not an inconceivable thing, though, that it can happen again. History shows that markets go up and markets go down. So you have to do a gut check on yourself and be like, whoa, you know what? Did he just say the markets could drop in half? No, I'm not predicting that, but I'm telling you that there's, you have to look at history and know it's happened before.
Right.
And you either have to be like, okay, I'm cool. I'll put a seatbelt on. I can ride through this. Or if you're like, you know what, I'm not cool. I can't handle this market going down 50%. Then you redo your portfolio and you make it more conservative. But the key thing, get something that you can be comfortable with for a long period of time and then leave it alone.
Yes, set it and forget it. And maybe the secret is that there is no secret. Just have contacts. Look at history. You know, history repeats, and history's been good. You know, we come out on the bright side. You know,
history has been phenomenal. Let me tell you something. It pays to be an optimist. All right. Optimists are the ones that get wealthy in this country, not pessimists. Mm-hmm. So it pays to be optimistic. And I think that the secret to everything is financial education, which is why you're such a blessing, which is why this podcast is so valuable, which is why you and I do what we do, which is that I think the secret's financial education. When you know better, you can do better. And financial education is, you know, it's not a one stop, learn this and you're done. It's constantly learning it and learning it and learning it. And even like 90% of what I've talked about today, I've talked about it 1,000 times before. I keep saying the same, but the lessons haven't changed. And repetition is the mother and the father of all life skills. Sometimes you got to hear things over and over again. And sometimes you got to be reminded of what you know you should do that somehow you stopped doing.
Well, David, we could just end there, but because you just did a nice little conclusion for me. Thank you so much. Before I let you go, I do want to know the three words that determine if you'll be rich. I wanted to get that before we leave.
Oh, I mean, it's really simple. People go, how do I know if I'm going to be rich? I go, very simple. Do you pay yourself first?
Do you pay yourself first?
And because if you don't, I don't know how you're going to get there. Pay yourself first is the absolute three key words to building wealth for life. And what the formula to paying yourself first is, here's the magic formula. 1 hour a day of your income you keep for yourself. So if you're going to work, go to work at 9 and you're going to work until 5. Most people go to the work for the government until about lunchtime, which kind of makes you want to come to work after lunch, but you can't. And the government takes your money from you automatically. And what I teach in the Automatic Millionaire book is go jump in front of the government legally, take that first hour day of your income, automatically move that money into your pay yourself first account. And that could be the 401k plan. That could be an IRA account. If you're self-employed, it could be a SEP IRA or a one-person 401k plan. But that is the formula.
Well, that's part of your magic too. You put things so neatly in these things, like these concepts and these terms that we can actually believe in. Like, yes, I have an hour a day. If that's all it really takes, I can do that. So thanks for just helping us shift our minds a little bit around this, because it does require that. David Bach, thank you so much. Everyone, David's got a virtual book signing in just a few days, January 10th. Go to livesigning.com/David. And we have all the information about his free virtual class at SoMoneyPodcast.com. Definitely check that out. That's also free to attend. And it's called Start Late, Finish Rich. David, I hope you have a blessed new year. Thank you so much. And congratulations.
Farnoosh, you too. Continued happiness and success to you, and love to catch up with you again. Be well.
Thanks again, David Bach, for joining us on So Money. Looking forward to having him back on again. Can't wait to see what he's up to next. David is also doing a virtual book signing on January 10th. It's free to attend. If you're interested, head to livesigning.com/David. He's also offering his first virtual class on Creative Live on January 19th. So mark your calendars. It's called Start Late, Finish Rich. You can go to somoneypodcast.com to get that link so that you can sign up. And of course, if you'd like to learn more about David, his site is very simply davidbach.com. And he is on Twitter at @AuthorDavidBach. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. This was kind of a good one to run on repeat, right? Just put it on in the background. It's good learning through osmosis. Thanks for tuning in. Hope your day is so money.
Hope
hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.